शांति शांति
यदा पश्यः पश्यते रुक्मवर्णम् கர்த்தாரமேஷம் புருஷம் ப்ரஹ்மயோனிம் ததா வித்வான் புண்ய பாபே விதூய நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாம்யமுபைதி. When you chant these shlokas, the word meanings should completely overwhelm you, should completely get, you should be soaked in the words. When we are saying niranjanam, niranjanam, anjana means lepana, taint, that taintlessness, even we are suffering from some dukkha or we are happy. In both the cases, we should find that taintlessness. The happy will make us, happiness will make us smile, but not becoming elated. Becoming elated is a taint. Similarly, in dukkha, we will not become depressed. In shoka, in dukkha, where there is suffering, we will not grieve. We will have the dukkha, but we will remain taintless in dukkha also. The lepana of the dukkha will not be there. In everything, this taintlessness, when chanting niranjanam paramam samyam upaiti, niranjanam paramam samyam upaiti, that paramam samyam, what is that paramam samyam? It is not beyond the ordinary duality, just the ordinary duality at all. It is the ultimate duality where even the subject-object difference, it is the ultimate unity or the advaya anubhava, where even the difference of the subject and object are not, the difference is not there at all. That is the paramam samyam. So whenever we are chanting niranjana paramam samyam upaiti, our mind should attain that placidity. See, Rabindranath Thakur has written, যে কেহ মোরে দিয়েছ সুখ দিয়েছ তারি পরিচয় সবারে আমি নমি, যে কেহ মোরে দিয়েছ দুঃখ দিয়েছ তারি পরিচয় সবারে আমি নমি. হি সেজ দ্যাট দোজ হু হ্যাভ গিভেন মি হ্যাপিনেস, থ্রু দ্যাট হ্যাপিনেস দে হ্যাভ গিভেন মি ও লর্ড ইয়োর টাচ, দে হ্যাভ, আই হ্যাভ নোন ইউ থ্রু দ্যাট হ্যাপিনেস, দে হ্যাভ গিভেন মি হ্যাপিনেস through that happiness, your touch, they have reminded you through that. So I prostrate before them. And those who have given me suffering, through that suffering also, they have given me your touch. So I prostrate before them also. That is, whether it is sukha or it is dukkha, both are appearing in our consciousness. And what is that consciousness? That consciousness is the Lord we are always looking for. So in that consciousness, sukha has appeared or dukkha has appeared. It does not matter at all. Both are the touch of the Lord. We should find Lord in either. So that is how we attain the samya. This samya will keep us in prasada or placidity, whether the situation is a suffering or the situation is one of happiness. In both the cases, that samya will be there, that placidity, the prasada will be there intact.
Om bhadram karne bhishrinuyama devaha.
Om bhadram karne bhishrinuyama devaha.
Bhadram pashye makshabhir yajatraha.
ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டுவாம்சஸ்தனூபிஹ்
Vyashema devahitam yadayuhu.
Vyashema devahitam yadayuhu.
Svastina indro vriddhashravaha.
Svastina indro vriddhashravaha.
Svastina pusha vishvavedaha. Svasti nastarkshyo arishtanemihi.
Svasti nastarkshyo arishtanemihi.
Svasti no brihaspatir dadhatu.
Svasti no brihaspatir dadhatu.
Om shanti shanti shantihi. Shanti, shanti, shanti.
Om shanti, shanti, shanti.
See, if you look carefully, you will find that the first two verses actually have introduced the illustration of the two birds sitting on the same tree. Then the next two, what we are now dealing with, that is the third and the fourth, they are actually referring to what happens when the seeker discovers his real identity. And in the next two verses, you will find that in fifth and sixth, they will talk about the sadhana necessary for attaining this goal. Thereafter, from seventh onwards, they will go on elaborating various points again. So, these first six verses of this chapter, they are given as a summary. First two, illustration, next two, the result of this discovery, and next two, what is the sadhana, or what are the pursuits, what are the qualifications necessary to approach this goal. So, in the first two, they have given the illustration where the two birds, finally the lower bird, which was involved in all worldliness, that is eating the fruits and always undergoing sukha and dukkha, undergoing happiness and depression. Finally, it looks at the bird, the higher bird sitting at the top of the tree, and moves closer to it and finally gets merged into it. Now, the problem somebody had is that what will happen if the bird gets merged with the higher one? Then will this bird not eat, not taste the fruits anymore? How will it survive? The question is, this illustration is given, it's not two birds that way. It is the two identities within us. They are not separating the two birds. Our feeling, because of ignorance, because of our identification with the body mind personality, we feel that we are the lower bird, and we suffer from slavery, suffer from weakness, suffer from constriction, selfishness, all that. And when we discover our real identity, that is the meaning of the lower bird getting merged with the upper bird, the higher bird. It is in us, the two identities are within us, there is no separation there. So, what happens after that is when we realize our real identity, it is not that we stop interactions. We still continue with the interactions, but there is a great change in the whole attitude, whole vision. What happens, it is described in Bhagavad Gita in the 19th sloka of 14th chapter, which I have already narrated in the last day. Nanyam gunebhya kattaram yada drashtanu pasyati gunebhya cha param vetti madbhavam sodhigachati yada drashta gunebhya anyam kattaram na anupasyati tatha gunebhya cha param vetti tada sah madbhavam adhigachati. That is, when the drashta, the seeker, he sees that there is no doer behind the three gunas of nature. The nature is functioning as my body, mind, personality. We posit an ego behind that, that I am doing, I have to do this, I am enjoying, I am suffering. That constricted ego is what we are positing after whatever is happening, whatever is taking place in the body, mind, personality. That is why he has used anupashyati. It is not a direct vision, but we are construing an ego, a doer behind that. So, when he does not see any such doer behind, it is all the play of prakriti, the play of nature which is going on in the entire universe, and my body, mind, personality being a part of the universe. In the body, mind, personality also, it is working, the three gunas of nature are working. Not only that, he sees gunebhyascha param vetti, that surpassing, that transcending the three guna effect, there is something, the ultimate reality, that is his soul, atma, brahman or consciousness, that he finds. So, then he attains me, Krishna said there. So, what happens is that it is not that the second bird, there is no second bird, they got fused. In that case, in this case, the seeker stops interaction, the interactions goes on, go on. But he finds that it is all prakriti's play and I am not affected, I am not touched by the interactions at all. So, that is the reality they have mentioned with the illustration of the two birds. So, it will be wrong if you think that the birds are two separate and one bird is getting merged with the other. It is not like that, it is our own identity. We are normally working with the lower identity, the constricted identity, the egoistic identity. Not that we don't know about our real identity. As I discussed earlier, we know that there is an inner voice which comes from our real identity. Everybody likes love, everybody likes compassion, everybody likes expansion. Nobody can say, I don't like. It is because it is our real identity. We all are having that. But because of our slavery to the objective world, because of our slavery to our sense enjoyment and also various constricted enjoyments of the mind and intelligence, we actually do not heed that voice and we miss that identity. We are always overlooking that identity. So, when the discovery takes place, he is supposed to always remain anchored in that real identity. Now, right after discovery, it may not happen. That is also we should know that we call it Atma Sakshatkara. After the Atma Sakshatkara also one may again get caught in the worldliness, because the experience of the Atma Sakshatkara, which takes place in Samadhi, even after coming back from Samadhi also one may get into the same slavery. So, the knowledge has to work on finding out the truth behind this real discovery, the discovery of our Atma, discovery of our real identity. As the knowledge gets perfected, he remains anchored in his real identity even when he is interacting with the world, with the multifarious world. Now, in third and fourth verses, the third one we have already dealt with, he said that tada vidvan punya pape vidhuya niranjana paramam samyam upaiti. That is, what is the result of this? Yada pashya pashyate rukmavarnam kartaramisham purusham brahmayonim. When he sees this real identity, then what happens? Punya pape vidhuya. He goes beyond punya and papa, as I have already explained. And also, he becomes niranjanaha. That means, he becomes untainted. Always we are getting affected by whatever is happening outside, whatever is happening in our body, mind, personality. He remains unaffected by everything. He remains untainted. Paramam samyam upaiti. This is the ultimate samatva or samya. When we say paramam samyam means, even the duality of subject, object is not there. That is the ultimate samatva. He attains that. Now, in this verse which we are now taking up, we will chant again.
பிராணோ ஹி ஏஷய சர்வ பூதைர் விபாதி. விஜானன் வித்வான் பவதே நாதிவாதி. ஆத்ம க்ரீட ஆத்மரதிஹி க்ரியாவானேஷ ப்ரஹ்மவிதாம் வரிஷ்டஹ.
So, these are the other symptoms or other expressions of that discovery, what happens to him. He says, Pranaha hi esha yaha sarvabhutair vibhati vijanan vidvan bhavate natibadi na bhavate ativadi. Yaha sarvabhutaihi vibhati esha hi pranaha vidvan விஜானன் அதிவாதி ந பவதே சஹ ஆத்மக்ரீடா ஆத்மரதிஹி க்ரியாவான் ப்ரஹ்மவிதாம் வரிஷ்டா. ஹி சேஸ் தட் வென் த வித்வான் த நோ த விஸ்டம் த வைஸ் சீக்கர் ஹி டிஸ்கவர்ஸ் ஹி ரியலைசஸ் தட் இட் இஸ் த பிராணா இட் இஸ் த truth, the atma, the consciousness which as prana is manifest in all the beings, sarva bhutaihi vibhati, through all the beings it is manifest. We don't see the atma everywhere, we are seeing the beings, they are different from each other, they are all fragmented, they are appearing as various, but the whole process of spirituality is to discover that oneness behind this diversity, that same one truth which is appearing as different through different beings. Now, without these beings being manifest, this would not have been known. The knowledge is coming when we are seeing everything. Without the world, this also would not have been known. It is manifest through the world, through the objects, through various objects and various beings manifest in the world. As suppose we don't see the electricity at all. We see the fans moving, so electricity is converted into wind energy. We see the lights, so it is converted into light energy. We feel the heat, we hear the sound, everything is coming out of electricity. The electricity nobody has seen. Even within us also, in our body, all the nerve currents, they are coming through electrical pulses. In our brain also, they are all electrical pulses. They are all electricity, but we are not knowing that. What we are seeing is that whatever is appearing in our mind, whatever pictures are appearing in our mind. So, everywhere the expression of electricity is coming as multifarious, in multifarious ways, in various ways, but we are not seeing the electricity. Even if you go deeper, light also really we don't see. If we would have seen light, then when the from the sun the light is coming to the earth, if you are in the space and you are looking at the line joining the sun to the earth, you would have seen light, but we don't see. We see absolutely dark space everywhere where the sun is shining, and earth and other planets, various other planets, they are all lit with the sunlight, but we don't see the sunlight coming from the sun to the earth or to the moon. The light is not seen. When the light is scattered or reflected by material objects, what we see is the object, either minute air particles, air molecules, or it can be larger object. Whatever objects, the matter scatters light, we see that object, we don't see the light at all. Like that, when this consciousness is expressed through the beings, only then we are coming to know, as I said earlier, that what we visualize, what we understand as our constricted consciousness, the I sense, it is a reflection on our bodhi, on our buddhi, the fundamental, the base level of our buddhi, there comes the real knowledge, the real unfolding, the real know, the our anything we know, it shines there. So that is what he is saying, prano hi esha yas sarva bhutair vibhati vijanan vidvan bhavate nati vadi. Vijanan, they have used the word vijanan, not janan, because it has to be a realized knowledge, it has to be a direct knowledge. What do we mean by a realized knowledge? I have said earlier also that normally when we are trying to understand the truth, we are activating our intelligence, we are putting lot of effort to analyze, to understand the truth. It is an effortful procedure of the intelligence. What we know as our general intellect, intelligence or buddhi, it's an effortful element, that it is putting effort to analyze and understand the truth, coming to a decision. But when we see that, suppose I know that I am, where from that amness is coming? I know that I am, that knowledge that I am, is it through an effortful, is it through an effort of buddhi that we are understanding I am? No. It is simply shining in our understanding. It is shining in our bodhi, in our pratibodha, so to say, in our base level, the fundamental level of the buddhi. It shines effortlessly. This effortless knowledge is the realized knowledge. Suppose I am, if I disprove that you are not, are you going to accept that you are not? You still say that, no, I know that I am. It is not to be analyzed through buddhi and come to a decision that I am or I am not. So it is a direct knowledge which is taking place in our understanding level. It shines in our buddhi in an effortless manner, in a sahaja manner, in a swabhaviki manner. That is what we mean by vijanan. So this truth also, what we are trying to understand with lot of analysis, lot of effort of the buddhi, that effort is necessary to do away with our ignorance, because right from birth, it's not only from birth, actually we have inherited through our genes also, through our cells also, this ignorance is there right in us, and from childhood all along we have been interacting with the objects, with the fragmented world, liking this thing, disliking some things, fearful of certain things, attracted by some things. So constantly our buddhi is constantly getting reinforced with this fragmentation of the world. To remove that, we have to give the buddhi this constant interaction with the transcendental oneness by constantly thinking about, ruminating, contemplating on this transcendental oneness. Whatever fragmentation, whatever ignorance, whatever divergence we have collected in the buddhi, they have to be treated. When they are treated, then the truth remains there. It is only, so our effort of the buddhi is only to remove whatever we have collected through our life, and even now we are collecting throughout the day. We are not ruminating on the truth. We are interacting with all fragmented objects, feeling that they are real. We are still slave to the objective universe. Something I like, something I dislike, and we are slave to that. The moment something goes wrong, we get upset. So these reality of the fragmented world has to be annulled, has to be treated with the unity, the uniformity or oneness of the transcendental truth. If it is done, then the truth shines itself, shines by itself. So that is called the vijanan. When it happens, what happens is that vidvan ativadi na bhavate or na bhavati. The seeker or the knower, he no more becomes, or he does not become an ativadi. This ativadi is very important. It means we speak too much to establish our opinion or our argument. Suppose a person who wants to establish our own, say there is a fight between the Dvaita, Advaita, Vishishta Advaita or so many other things, logic. We want to establish that what we are thinking is true and what the others are saying is wrong. Or amongst the different creeds, various religions, we have argued, we have arguments, and with that we want to establish that this is the truth. So, always that to establish the truth, we take to argument and we think that what we are saying is true. We always want to win over others. That is called Ativadi, that win over others by establishing our argument. When one comes to realize the truth, he does not anymore gets into argument of that kind. If people wants to understand, he will explain. Those who want to inquire, he will explain, but he will not argue to establish his point of view as the supreme, as the superior one. That is why in Shankaracharya's Praudhanubhuti, he says that dvaita advaita vivarjite samarase maunam param sammatam.